For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
In creation, let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for the revelation that comes through your word concerning design, concerning your creation. And Father, we ask that tonight your word would impact our hearts and we would have an understanding that we may even answer the gainsayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. So tonight we're looking at biblical answers about design in creation. This is a very important area. What we find is that there are a lot of people who say very silly things, really, such as, oh, there's no evidence for God, there's no evidence for creation, things like that. However, in Romans 1 verse 20, it makes it very clear that people are without excuse about creation and believing in him. It's not hard to see that everything around us has design and purpose. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are, what does it say?
Clearly seen.
Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, we'll elaborate on this a little bit more as we go on, but as far as God is concerned, the evidence is clearly seen to the extent that the things that are made can show God's power and Godhead. His power, the magnificence of what God has created, even in its fallen state. We'll talk a bit about that too. And the Godhead, talking about intelligence, has been behind it all, and a very powerful intelligence at that. So, as far as God is concerned, they are without excuse. Without excuse. Now, we know the scripture talks about the God, little g, of this world, namely Satan, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. But notice, they've made the choice to believe not, rather than to believe. And we'll look at that later as well. All types of obvious design in creation. I've just, really off the top of my head, just put down a few here so that we can just see that there's just no excuse whatsoever. The sun is at the right distance from the earth. The air has the right composition for breathing. Seeds have a blueprint in them to grow into full plants and animals. That starts very small, little seed. Blueprint to grow into full plants and animals functioning according to the specifications that were in that seed. Water fit to sustain life and growth. And water particularly is in a liquid form on the planet Earth. The firmament or atmosphere acting as a protective barrier, such as cosmic rays and meteors and so on. The structure of animals for movement and function. The wings of fowl or flying creatures made for flight. The moon's tidal action regulating the oceans. And if we were to just do a little bit of thinking, you could probably come up with another 100, and I'm not joking there. So there is all types of obvious design in creation. So there must be something which is speaking to people and blinding their minds to think otherwise. And particularly in the last century, the doctrine, or what we would call the false science of evolution, has been in great prominence in the earth. So the Bible points to design in creation, such as in Hebrews 3 verse 4, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." So think about the way that is phrased. So every house is builded by some man, even houses that we would call the house of God, the church. It's built, it's been designed, there's been a floor plan and a plan on how to put everything together. And then it's built. The builders didn't come along and just stick anything just anywhere. But they did it with certain materials going here, certain materials going there. Put the roof on first. Oh no, not the roof on first. Put the floor and the foundations down first, and then build up until you get the roof and so on. And the comparison here is that he that built all things is God. As far as the scripture is concerned, all things are built by God. Built is a key word, because built gives the idea of design, of planning, of intelligence. And so the scripture itself points to design, that, and it says that people that choose not to believe are without excuse, because the things around them are clearly seen to be part of a great design. So when we consider this, Hebrews 3 verse 4, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God," we see that there's some points that we can bring out. A house must be designed before being built. All things are built by God, so all things must be designed. We pointed to a few things before. When we examine creation, we find building blocks such as atoms and molecules. Did those come about by chance, random processes? Well, obviously not. You'd have to be blind to think that. Natural laws underlying built things imply a lawmaker or a designer. You think about the law of gravity, for example. You have to have that in place in order for you to build things. There's all types of laws. The electrostatic law, which is part of the atomic structure. All types of laws. Electromagnetic law. If we didn't have the electromagnetic law, we wouldn't have electricity. And the electromagnetic law operates right through creation. So there's all types of natural laws, and the word law implies a lawmaker. A lawmaker or designer. So someone has put it all in place. We could ask, has the earth been created purposefully? Isaiah 45 verse 18 tells us, yes, exactly. That's exactly the case. It says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself, that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else." So the way the Lord built the earth, the way the Lord designed the earth, the way the Lord planned the earth is for it to be inhabited by living creatures, such as man, animals, plants. God formed it to be inhabited. That's why we have the atmosphere we've got. Even those outside of the Lord talk about the earth being like a Goldilocks planet. Everything's just right. Just right. Just right. Gravity seems to be just right. The sun seems to be just right. Now, we know that we're in a fallen creation at the moment, so we'll address a couple of those issues that come up or as excuses why people think that God has not designed or has designed badly. In some cases they try to say that. But that's just atheistic thinking. That's just thinking that's unbiblical, that's not informed. It's blind type of thinking. So we can ask the question, do God's laws uphold creation? Well, God points to this very clearly. In Hebrews 1 verse 3, it tells us that God is upholding all things by the word of his power. It sounds like a law to me, doesn't it? He's upholding all things. All things means all the built things that we have around us is upheld by the word of his power. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The word consist means kept together. By him all things consist. So God is upholding his creation. And sadly, even those that don't acknowledge him, they should be acknowledging him because he is upholding their very life, every breath, all the natural laws that make up their body and hold it together. And we say supernatural law, really, because it's the word of his power. So that we can say God's word or law keeps all things together. And we observe natural laws such as electrostatic and gravitational in creation, which is clear evidence, clearly seen, evidence of a law maker. This is not hard to understand. You have to have help to believe otherwise. And that's the type of help that the devil is all too willing and has all too willing been giving people who are all too willing to receive it because they don't want to believe in an all-powerful creator, because that tells them that there is someone to answer to. So the scripture tells us, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver," in Psalm 119 verse 172. So God calls his word the law of thy mouth, the law of his mouth. So God sees his word as law. And if you think back in Genesis 1, you know that he spoke and things were put into motion. Things were created. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And everything connected with light. All the photons in light, all the speed in light, everything that light is, and the way it obeys various laws and rules, was all put into place. So how does God's creation show his glory? Well, from the very large things to the very small things, God's glory can clearly be seen. And this is what I mentioned before. God's glory can clearly be seen. Now we're going to be looking at Psalm 19 verse 1 and Matthew 10:30. But what we can see is that complex systems are interacting all around us. We see that there's machinery, and even scientists talk about molecular machinery evident all through creation. Even our elbows are a simple machine, a lever type machine, okay, with a joint there. Programs and codes are all through creation, indicating a master programmer. We, of course, remember things like the DNA molecule, which is a coded program in living things. So the large things declare God's glory, such as the sun. Think of it. If you were not familiar with the sun, and the sun suddenly appeared in the sky, you would think, what is this ball of light? How magnificent it is, and look what it's doing, providing heat and light and other things. For example, the plants need it in order to grow and give us food, all that type of thing. But Psalm 19 verses 1 to 3 tells us something very specific and significant. It says, the heavens, what? Declare the glory of God. And the firmament, what's that? Showeth his handiwork. So there is a showing happening. A show, if you like. Happening all the time. Day unto day, what's that word? Uttereth speech. There's things that are being uttered saying, look at me. This is created. This is designed. This is built. And night unto night showeth what? Knowledge. See, knowledge doesn't come out from nowhere. Knowledge must come from an intelligence. Knowledge comes from an intelligence. Laws come from an intelligence. Design, codes, machinery, all of that comes from intelligence. And notice what it says here in the last part of Psalm 19, 1 to 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. What does that tell us? They're without excuse. There's no person on the planet Earth who could not look at the day, look at the heavens, look at the night, look at the heavens, look at the firmament, and come to a conclusion that this is all being built. Because it's declaring the glory of God. It's showing, it's uttering, it's putting forth out this area of knowledge. Also, the little things show God's glory. For example, in Matthew 6, verses 28 and 29, it says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What's he saying there? He's saying, just consider the lily. Consider that flower. Now, flowers have all types of patterns, shapes and colours. Okay, they're not just random things. They're there. There's a beautiful, decorative array. And this is what he's putting it down to. Solomon, in all his glory. Now, why was he arrayed in glorious clothes? To make him look magnificent, wasn't it? To make him look majestic and authoritative. And yet Jesus is pointing to the lilies of the field and saying Solomon was not arrayed like one of these lilies. Solomon was not arrayed like that. In other words, the array of a lily is greatly more magnificent than any array that man can bring forth. So even in the little things, we can look and see that there are things that show God's glory, God's design, God's magnificence. We could say, is there evidence of design in creation? Well, we've looked at a lot already. But you know, only in the last century has man been able to use microscopes to uncover molecular design. Darwin knew nothing about cells or their structure or molecules or how they were put together and so on. But Michael Behe, in his book Darwin's Black Box, The Biochemical Challenged Evolution, 1996, page 51, this is what he says. Good book to read, well researched. It says, as strange as it may seem, modern biochemistry has shown that the cell is operated by machines, literally molecular machines. Now, if you type in the words molecular machines into the internet, Google it, you will see all types of articles, not all from Christians, a lot of them from non-Christians talking about molecular machinery. This is blindness in all its fullness, isn't it? Blindness in all its fullness. But what does it mean for us? Okay, it means we who know the scriptures, we who are aware of this, should be ready to defend the faith, give an answer to what we believe, to be able to show and bring out some of these things and say, hey, you know, evolution makes no sense. It's saying everything came about by chance, random processes, and there was no intelligence involved. It makes no sense whatsoever. We could ask the question, is the Bible anti-science? But the Bible has many statements of correct scientific exactness. Here's a couple. Job 26 verse 7, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. How did Job know that? If you looked, and there's photos that have been taken of the earth from the moon, and if you look at the earth, what does it look like? Looks like it's hanging upon nothing. You know, in the mythologies of the past, they thought there were things that were propping up the earth. But the scriptures tell us that he hangeth the earth upon nothing. Job 38 verse 35 says, canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? What's that talking about? Talking about some sort of lightning or radio wave which comes across and goes from one place to another and says, here we are. The wireless, which we know to be today as the radio, was an absolutely magnificent device to the people who first saw it. The same as the television. They could scarcely believe it. And yet, in Job, thousands of years ago, here's what he says. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 7 says, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. A scientific statement about the water cycle. Evaporation, clouds, rain, into the sea, into the rivers, and it goes around and around. That's the water cycle. That's a scientific statement. And there's many statements just like that in the Bible. The Bible is not anti-science. And if you read it properly, you will see that it is scientific in the correct way. And that is, you link your knowledge with the Lord. Or really, all proper knowledge and wisdom comes from the Lord. The Bible talks about wisdom from above or wisdom from the earth or from fleshly places. So the Bible is against false science, though. 1 Timothy 6 verse 20 says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. There is a false science which is opposing Christianity, opposing creation. And that's rife right through our educational system today. And that's the evolutionary theory. And there are other false sciences, but that's the major one that we're facing at the moment. So we ask the question, why do evolutionists deny design? And the simple reason is for spiritual reasons, they refuse God. Even if they see design, they deny that it is God and seek to explain it away. Now when we read Romans 1, 19 to 21, and I'll just read it carefully for you, it tells us this very clearly. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God has showed it unto them. That's what it says. God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now there are people that says have come to things like the DNA molecule or molecular machinery, they've said, if evolution wasn't true, I'd be thinking there was a creator. But because evolution is true, this possibly couldn't be a creation or from a creator. Can you see what they're saying? They saw clearly that it was from God, because it says there, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So they chose not to believe. They chose not to believe. Now, the greatest scientists of the past were creationists. Isaac Newton, also known as the father of modern science, was a creationist. We won't go into his other doctrines, but he was a creationist. He believed in creation. And many, many others. Many others. So why do evolutionists deny design? It's a spiritual reason. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4a says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Psalm 53 verse 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." 2 Peter 3 verse 5 says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God in the heavens of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." So there is a willingness to be ignorant. Something like, I don't want to believe that there is a God. I don't want to believe there is a creator. That would shake my foundations, because I want to believe other things. We're coming to the last few questions. Why do sharp fangs and thorns exist? Well, in Genesis 1:31, it makes a very clear statement. It says that everything was very good at the beginning. But when sin entered into creation, it became cursed and corrupted, causing changes to reflect the curse. As Romans 5 verse 12a says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." So everything connected to death, sickness, disaster, all that type of thing, that came into creation once Adam and Eve sinned. And that's called the fall. So the fall of man caused the whole of creation to come into a fallen state. And Genesis 3 verse 14 says, and it shows an example of one of the changes that happened in creation. It implies that the serpent or the snake was a walking type of animal, but now became a slithering on the ground type of animal. And this is what it says in Genesis 3:14. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed," so the curse has come in, "above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And if we look at Romans 8 verse 22, which I'll turn to, and we'll quote from this as well. Romans 8, 22. And this is what it says about creation in Romans 8, 22. It says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." So the whole of creation is groaning and travailing together in pain. So there might be a few things you might want to follow up on this. I've put down under the references a couple of sermons which I preach. They're on the website, Victory Faith Centre website, Biblical Answers About Creation. And the other one, "Given that God is good, why is there evil in creation?" And also there's Michael Behe's Darwin's Black Box. Now there's many others we could put up there, but sufficient to say that when we look at design in creation, it is an evident thing. It's clearly seen. It's not a mystery, and it shouldn't be a mystery. And there are answers to be given, but we have to be prepared to give those answers to everyone that asks of us. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your blessing and your help. And we ask, Lord, that you give us opportunities to share your word, to preach your gospel, and to speak into the lives of those who do not yet know you, do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.